Welcome everybody to Landmark. Those of you that are watching from home, come on in and enter in with us. We're glad that you've joined us today. And I want to say it's good to have the Bales back with us, Tom and Juan and Gracie and Ashley. God bless you guys. Good to see you today. And so we honor all of you sweet people of God that are here today. Let me announce to you, we've got a new married couple, Sal and Andrina, tied the knot last evening. Till death do us part, and it was a beautiful wedding, so we're proud of that young couple. And now, with this Wednesday night, we're going to meet for church in this room on Wednesday. We'll see how long we stay here instead of going back to that building, but for now, we're here on Wednesday night at 6:30, so join us if you can, and those of you at home, if you want to come on in, come. I noticed we've lifted the mask ban here at Landmark, but if you feel to wear your mask, I notice a few people are yet wearing their mask here, feel free to do that. If you're not comfortable hugging or shaking hands, then just put your hands behind your back. That'll be our universal sign at Landmark. Just do this. It means leave me alone. I'll hug you later, but we're glad that you're here. And so we honor everybody this morning. All right. Am I missing anything? Are we good? Thank you, guys. Beautiful songs. Love them all. God bless you. Don't they look beautiful this morning? They always do. We're going to be coming to the Lord's table in just a few minutes. And if you didn't get your daily bread, get one. And if you need communion, have the ushers get you one. If you didn't hear me say get it when you came. Anyone need a communion cup? And Brother Tim will get it for you. We at Landmark, we just like everyone to receive with us. We usually have a time of repentance before. Some churches you go to, if you're not a member, or you're divorced, or you're not a Christian. Now, I believe that you should repent and be in God's favor. So we give you that option to do this. Not really an option. It's a necessity that we all receive communion when we have that time and that privilege to go to the Lord's table. Amen. It's good to see you, Brother Phil and Lori. I know I've seen you a few times. It's good to see you. Ains, will you bring me that umbrella, please? I want to show you something. How many watched my Wednesday night message? Oh, good, all five of you. That's awesome. You're telling off on yourself. Now, listen, if you haven't watched it, get back and watch it. Because it was a word from the Lord and you need to see it. Now, not everybody listens with a spirit ear. I understand that. But sometimes you'll get a few people that listen with a spirit ear and they'll get into it and know the Lord has spoken. This is a token and a sign that it got into somebody's heart Wednesday night. Now, last evening when I was marrying Adriana and Sal, we did the ring ceremony, and I blessed the rings and had them place them upon the ring finger. And I like to say, this is a token of my love and my commitment to you. Well, as pastor, I was so blessed. When you hear somebody that got that word in their heart and received it, and Sister Lori, one of our newest people this morning, the Aguirres, she came in and she said, Pastor, I got something for you. I'm saying, oh, good, what is it? Well, she's holding an umbrella, but I figured it's going to rain a little later this afternoon. So I said, oh, good. So I was waiting for it. She goes, here it is. She goes, I listened Wednesday night, and the rain is coming, Pastor. She stood there bawling her eyes out. I got it in my heart, Pastor. I can't wait. She heard the word of the Lord. So I'm thankful. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Lori. I will keep that. And keep it right on my desk at home so that I will remember and be reminded the glory of God is upon us. Listen, church, all you have to do is turn your news on and see that it's darker than it has ever been. And when it's that dark, he said in Isaiah 60, that's when my glory will be seen upon you. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Are you ready to get into the word this morning? Say this with me, dear Jesus, help me to listen with my heart's ear. In Jesus' name, change me and come with us, and we go with you. Amen. Okay, I want to talk to you this morning. The Lord has given me a message for this. Yes, a message, but a title. I'm just going to call this because I read Paul's words. It was a one-liner, but Paul said, Israel will be saved. And that has been very controversial. And you say, why would that be? Oh, it's just too big to even get into. But so many couldn't grasp it in that day. But you know what? It was. And it will be even more toward the end of time. But they saw the glory come into Israel during a very difficult hour. And I'm calling my message today to anyone that wants to see it. If you want to argue with it, go to the Word. You know me. I'm always going to give you plenty of Scripture. Because you all don't care what I think. You care about what the Word says. So I'm declaring you to you this morning that America will be saved. And we will be a part of it. And it will not be saved without a glorious church. And we are only glorious if we have the fire of God and the glory of Him upon us. Amen? Okay. Well, let's get into this. Let's turn over to the book of Mark. And Mark chapter 16, the very last chapter in the book of Mark. Do you know, even in the New Testament days, people had a hard time believing. They had a hard time not doubting. I guess it's always been that way. There'll always be doubters. I want to be one that doubts my doubt. You say, do you ever doubt? Oh, yeah, I doubt. But I want to doubt my doubt. When the doubt comes, no, I doubt, Satan, that you're telling me the truth. In fact, I know you aren't telling me the truth. Because you're a liar and the father of lies. All right, let me show you a group of people that just couldn't get it. Mark chapter 16. We'll start reading at verse 11. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, Mary Magdalene, when they heard that he had been seen by her, they did not believe. You want to go a bit farther? After that, he appeared in another form to two of them that walked, and as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest. But they did not believe them either. You want to go a little farther? All right, look at this. Jesus gets involved. Verse 14. Later, he, Jesus, of course, appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he was risen. You know what causes us not to believe? Hardness of heart. We've heard it all, seen it all, and we've heard it for a mighty long time. So it's hard to grasp. And so he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they didn't believe Mary and they didn't believe the two men that were walking down the road and they just had a hard time believing. And so after Jesus rebuked them, not exactly them, but he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart. After he had risen from the dead, a major, major miracle. Look at verse 15. This shows you what kind of God we serve, what kind of Jesus he is. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Just after he had dealt with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Now, if I had been there, I may have slipped up behind Jesus' back, just like some of you, and said, Jesus, you got the wrong people. Those guys are no good. They're full of unbelief and hardness of heart. He would say, I know, I just told him that. But see, you don't know my plan. I see the whole picture. All you see is this much. Yes, I dealt with that much, but I see the whole deal, the whole plan. And so he told that group of people immediately. Didn't it seems like he changed the subject. Well, maybe he did. But he said, now you go preach to the world and you preach this gospel to every creature. And I want you to look at verse 20. And they went out and preached where? Everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. I think the old King James says signs and wonders. Amen. Now, how did that happen? What happened between verse 14 and verse 20? Now, you know in the Bible, as you're reading, there can be years or there can be circumstances between the words. It's not all always in order. But something happened between verse 14, 15, and verse 20. Besides them having belief and unbelief and hardness of heart, and now they're going out everywhere preaching that same gospel that they didn't believe before. Now they believe it, and now they've got it in their heart. I believe it was Acts chapter 2. I believe, Teddy, that the Holy Ghost came upon them. And see, when he comes, he makes the difference in who you and I are. He's the only one that can make that difference. He is the only one that can deal with unbelief and hardness of heart. Amen? Okay. All right, let's go a little farther now. I want to go over to Judges chapter 15. You can go with me there if you want. Many of you know the story, but I want you to hear this morning. Again, please listen well. Listen with your spirit so you'll hear it. Let me just lay a little foundation first. You all, how many know Samson? Oh, the rest of you don't know him? Y'all know Samson, strongest man who ever lived. Not John Jacob, Samson. And so Samson married a Philistine woman, and he wasn't supposed to do that. His parents told him, leave those women alone. But he went out and married one of them. And then he goes off to war. And while he's away, it was the time of harvest at home. And so time came for him to go back home. And when he got back home, he wanted to go kiss his wife. He wanted to go in the house where she was. But his father-in-law, his wife's dad, stood there at the door and said, oh my goodness, Samson. I didn't know you were coming home. I thought you hated your wife. I thought you weren't coming back. And Samson said, okay, all right. I mean, he knew that father-in-law meant business, so he didn't disrespect him, didn't go on in the house. He just stayed out. Now look at verse 3. And Samson said to them, this time means I've already done this before, but this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. In other words, I'm going to harm them. I'm just telling you I'm going to, but I'll be blameless this time. All right, now look what he did. Here's a major, major miracle. Now look at me, folks. You know good and well that things happen in the Old Testament that don't happen these days. And I really hope this one, we're not called to do this, unless you, Brandon, you could probably go do it. But verse 4 says, then Samson went and caught 300 foxes. See, you've got the farm. You may have that many out there. So Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail. And he put a torch between each pair of tails. And when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines. And he burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. Now, usually when you read this, you think that those foxes just went in and burnt the wheat fields. But it says, man, they got the vineyards and the shocks and the standing grain and the olive groves. I mean, got the whole deal. Can you imagine catching 300 foxes? I mean, I'd like to see you try to catch one. I don't know. I was thinking when I had so much fun building this message. I thought, okay, a fox only has one tail. Don't have two. And I used to think when I was a little girl, he just tied them all together in a big circle. Well, you can't do that if you just got two foxes. So he had to tie just two fox tails together. And then he set the torch on them, set them on fire, and then watch them run out through the grain. And he could just watch them run through the field. And wherever those old foxes went, they just left a trail of fire. Just burning everything down. So he turned the foxes tail to tail, put a torch between each pair. He torched them, and off ran the foxes, tearing everything up. And don't you know the Philistines were impressed. And they wanted to know who did that. And they were told that Samson did that. Well, that's a whole another story. And if I get into that, it'll mess with the parallel that I'm wanting to bring here. So I'm not going to do that. But if you'd read in the first verse, it says it was the time of the wheat harvest. And it was happening, and here Samson came and brought his wife a goat. Because that meant, here's my gift to you. So he brought her a little goat. But she still didn't get the goat. So it was the time of the wheat harvest. And you'll see that everything that these Philistines had set up, they probably stole many of their fields if they could by moving ancient landmarks, as the Bible tells us not to move those. That's another story. But he took those foxes and changed everything. Can I say to you today that I believe America has Philistines in it? American Philistines. And they are producing a harvest right now that is pretty amazing. Oh my goodness, when you look, they're trying to tear apart the Constitution of the United States. God sent our forefathers to found this nation on good ground, but they are producing one evil crop after another, I've repeated those before, I'm not going to bore you with repeating them again. I don't even have to. But they are producing evil crops, rotten fruit trees. They are producing bad fruit. They're coming into our school system gradually to mess with the minds of our children. Changing things like gender names. I heard the other day they can't even call an unmanned drone now. Because it's a gender name, man, unmanned. Well, can't call it an unwoman drone. See, they're messing with themselves now. They're just getting so off the wall. But now they're beginning to have standing grain. I mean, they've got some pretty good crops going on, if you want to know the truth. A lot of jobs have been taken away. A lot of taxes are up. Do you notice you're paying about a dollar more for your gas now? And, I mean, they've really got some things going on. And they've got some very corrupt vineyards. People in these circles are corrupt. And it looks like the walls are crumbling around Washington. And to make matters worse, they want to make Washington a state. So that they will have more corruption, more voters to go corrupt. Rotten trees. Well, let me say this to you, church. You are going to see, right now, you're going to see those fields burning. Not very far from now, you will begin to see these Philistine harvest fields burning, and it will be by the power of God, because nobody else seems to be able to do anything about it. So God says, I will move in again, and I will burn their fields to the ground. Now, my husband used to tell me this. We lived up, you know, in Success Valley, and we would see, maybe in the middle of the night, we would hear sirens, and we'd look out, and a whole hill would be burning. You know, there's a lot of those foothills up there, and they would be burning. Those were hills where the cattle got their grain. My husband used to say, that grain right there, that grass is like Wheaties to a cow. And that field would be burning, and there would be a ring of fire all the way around the mountain. It would just be the prettiest thing you've ever seen. Just a ring of fire. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what are the Lowe's going to do with that hill burnt? And it was, you know, it was over thousands of acres that were burning that night. And he said, oh, he said, they've got enough money to last them. But he said, well, what'll happen is couple of years, that will come back as fresh grass, and it will grow up, and it'll be beautiful pasture. And so God has a way of cleaning up his own mess. If he causes it, he can fix it like that. He can recover it. But I'm going to tell you, these Philistines in America are going to see some fields beginning to burn. And it's going to be by the hand of God, and it will not be by rioters. Amen? Not going to be by rioters. Well, let me tell you what Mark 6 and 7 says. Mark 6 and 7, here's what Jesus did about it. See, it was bad in his day. They had physical Philistines. In fact, they're the ones that nailed him on the cross, though I know they were Roman Jews. But they were Philistines, and they had raised some bad crops. But here's what Jesus did in Mark 6 and 7. And he called the 12 to himself. Look, listen. And he began to send them out how? Two by two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, those were not physical foxes. But Jesus said, disciples, there's only 12 of you, but come here. Come here. I am going to fill you with some fire. And I'm going to send you out two by two. And I want you to run into the enemy's camp and into his fields. And you're going to burn down everything that they have set up. And the church was birthed in church. Amen? Here it came. He said, I'm giving you power over unclean spirits. When you read the book of Romans in chapter 1, the spirit of the Antichrist that's on the earth right now, changing the truth of God into a lie, it's full of unclean spirits. And Jesus said to his disciples, I send you out two by two to take power over unclean spirits. You say, well, why did he choose two in a pair? Well, when I studied that, I found that it was Jewish tradition. And it says that two witnesses were always needed. And so Jesus was still doing something that he knew that the Jewish tradition, these people could understand. They had a hard time believing Jesus coming in alive from the dead. And so they're certainly not going to believe a natural man. So he said, well, if I've got two to be a witness, then maybe they'll believe that. Yes, he sent them out, but I'll tell you something, church, not before he set them on fire. It was just like Samson. Samson set the foxes on fire, but Jesus set his disciples on fire, and it's that same fire that he wants us to have today. It's the same Holy Ghost, if not another. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, in Luke 12:49, you'll see that he says, this is why Jesus came. Luke 12:49, I came to send fire on the earth. That's why he came, to put fire down here, because he knew we would need it. Fire keeps us warm, fire lights up, fire illuminates, and fire is one of Jesus' greatest tools. Let me ask you this morning, what would have happened if Samson had gotten all those 300 foxes together, that's 150 pairs, lit up? What would have happened if he hadn't put the torch to their tails and burnt them? What would have happened as they ran through the field? Nothing. Unless Jesus had lit his church with the fire of the Holy Ghost and the baptism, let me tell you, there would be nothing going on. Well, just that reaction is a good sign that the fire isn't as bright as it used to be. Jesus said, I came to bring fire, and he has lit the church, and he said, I want it burning as brightly going out of here as it was when I left. And you know what? It will. Hallelujah. And it's upon us right now. So America will be saved, church. Now, it will be destroyed at the very end. And how will it be destroyed? By fire. It will be annihilated by fire, and then the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem will come. But before that, America will be saved by fire. It'll be saved by the fire of the church and the glory of God, where it's not by might nor by power, but only by His Spirit. Jesus said in Acts chapter 2, He said, John, let me go to John first. John said, there's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes. But he says, when he comes, I baptize you with water. But when he comes, he will baptize you not with water, but he will baptize you with fire. That's how you shall be baptized. All right, so let's go over to the book of Acts, chapter 2. I want to show you something right here pertaining to this. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Most of you have this part memorized, but there's a word or two I want to pull out here to go with it. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They weren't running, they weren't jumping, they weren't standing, they weren't falling out. He said, where they were sitting, he filled the whole house. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they all were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right, let's go back to verse 3. I want to show you this. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. What did it look like? It was just like fire. In fact, it was fire. And it says, one set upon each one. Every single person in that room, all 120, every single one of them received a fiery tongue on their head. Now, if you don't have a head, you won't get it. But if you've got a head, it said as of fire, and one set upon each of them. So Jesus wanted every single one of us to receive the fire of the Spirit. So somebody in heaven, the angels of heaven, God Himself, Jesus, the Holy Ghost brought it to earth is all I know. The Holy Spirit brought it down here and said, I'm giving every single one of you a fire on your head. It will seep down into your heart and into your very being and change your life as it changes others. And that's the way, church, America is going to be saved. Jesus has prepared a flame for you. He's prepared a flame for me. And there's times over the years that we called, Lord, forgive us, the prosperity gospel, name it and claim it and frame it. But I want to call this today, just claim your flame. If you're going to be claiming anything, claim your fame, and it will change everything in your life. And say, Lord, I'm ready, I want it. I don't know if I'm ready or not, but if you have it, bring it to me. I'll take it. I desire the fire. I want the fire in me, Lord. I'll take it. And America will only be saved by a church on fire and by an end-time church on fire. And we are the end-time people, church. We are the end-time people with an end-time word in our mouth. And that word must come with a fire attached to it. And when you go out, it doesn't matter where you go, when that tongue of fire comes out of you, it will touch that person that you are speaking to. I don't know what happened the other day when you and I were speaking, but my life has been changed ever since you said whatever it was you said. What is that? That's the fire of His glory. And don't you dare forget that Jesus came to bring fire on this earth. He said, this is the very reason I came. And let me tell you one more thing. The media is going to have no choice, but they will have to testify of the things they see and the things they heard. That's just the way it was in the early church in the days of Pentecost. And we're going to be celebrating that day of Pentecost in a few days. But it said that the people came, they told about the things they saw and they heard. In this last hour, Jesus says, up until this point, we've not seen a lot. But he says, people will see and they will hear. What will it come from? It will come from his fire. Amen. So take your personal baptism, church. Jesus said, oh, there's one coming after me. He'll baptize you with fire. All I can do is baptize you with water. We believe in baptizing with water. But Jesus said, as often as you come to my table, I want you to remember everything I did, everything I am, and how I died for you. Always remember, if you all will come back. I want us to prepare to come to the table of the Lord right now. Would you stand with me? And let's just lift our hands, our hearts, and our voices. I give God some glory right now, right where you are. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name, oh God. We praise you, Lord, for you're worthy, worthy, worthy. Would somebody open your mouth and give him a praise? Come on, come on, come on. Oh, we love you, Jesus. You're worthy. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We are not ashamed of this fire. We will not be ashamed of the fire. Lord, we've been, maybe the church, the body of Christ, has been timid over the years. But Lord, there's an awakening. There's a glory. There's a fire. And Jesus, we will never, ever forget why you came. You came to bring fire upon this earth and to destroy the works of the devil. And you are going to destroy his works with a fiery church. A fiery church burning for you, no less than a fiery church with the fire of God, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Church, the Holy Spirit will never leave you alone to do any of it. See, you can't do anything anyway. It'll only be him that will cause it to happen. And he will give you grace to help you in whatever you're going through. It doesn't matter. Sometimes you wonder, how do people get through what they're going through? By the grace of the Holy Spirit. But he said there's more than grace. And there's more than blessings. There's more than blessings. This church is something powerful that no man has seen and no man has heard. Not since the early church. But I believe the early church would be very jealous to see and experience what you and I will see and experience. Amen. Lift your hands one more time and tell the Lord you receive the fire. Come on, I receive the fire, Lord. We claim our flame, that one that you have for each and every one of us, Lord. We desire your fire, Holy Ghost. We cannot live without your fire. Lord, we don't want to live without the flame in our lives. I don't want to have a church, Lord, without the fire in the church. May the fire rest upon us, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God. As they're singing, you've already got your communion cup? Hallelujah. Linda, lead us in a song.
Let your glory fill this house.
Yes, Lord. Come on, get an attitude of worship right now before you receive.
Let your praises fill our mouths.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let each vessel offer up to you.
A sacrifice of praise.
A sacrifice of praise. You alone are worthy this morning. You alone are holy. You alone are worthy. You alone. You deserve the glory.
come on,
you
say it.
You are holy.
Alright, would you take the bread in your hand? Let's lift it up in honor to the one who loves us the most. Jesus, you paid an unlimited price. There was no price of what you paid for each one of us. How dare you, Satan, to even come to God's people and whisper what you say they are not. But we are everything, Jesus, because you bought us with an unlimited price. We love you, Jesus. We remember what you did for us. And as often as we do this, we remember you. We remember what you said. And we remember what you did. You died to send the fire. And you died for our healing, our health, and our wealth. In Jesus' name. Would you receive the body of the Lord in honor of who he is, what he said, and what he did. Yes, Lord. Sweet Jesus. What value could be put on your blood? There is none. There is none, Lord. We receive your blood. You said there's life in the blood. And it's why we're able to stand here today, because there is certainly life flowing through our hearts right now. But Lord, spiritually we live and exist until you take our breath back. We breathed our last breath. But we live in the spirit because of your blood. There is life in your blood. There's forgiveness in your blood. There's forgiveness and healing and blessing and deliverance. My brother, sister, if you need deliverance this morning from a bad habit, I pray that right now, before you drink of his blood, you repent in Jesus' name and say, Lord, forgive me. Sanctify me. Wash me and cleanse me. By the blood you shed for me, I receive your blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's sing that again. Oh, tell him how worthy he is.
Let your glory fill this house.
Oh, yes.
Let your praises.
Let your praises fill our house.
Let each vessel offer up to you.
Let each vessel Hallelujah. Offer up
Great
to you. Sacrifice of praise.
Praise right now. Come on, lift your voices in worship. Lift your voices in worship and worship him. Oh, we honor you, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. Oh. to run.
Jesus, you
You know, just like that, if you will believe and receive Jesus' reprimand and love against hardness of heart and unbelief, that you can be totally delivered today of any upsetting habit or anything that has tormented your soul for years. He said the years that the caterpillar and the locust and the cankerworm and the palmer worm has eaten, I will restore unto you all of those years. It could have been years that you were tormented with whatever it is. But he said, I will restore those years. And if you will only believe that what you have done this morning and what you have heard, the word you have heard, the communion that you received to remember him, you can go home with it today. Therma, I announce total healing in your body in Jesus' name. Dolores, total healing in your body. Judy, total healing to you. Ed, Retta, all of you. Total and divine healing, Teddy. In the name of Jesus, somebody say, amen. Total healing, Brother Chuck. By the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'll see you Wednesday night. Please come in here believing and expecting in Jesus' name. God bless you all. I love you. See you Wednesday at 6:30.